Parshas Shalach. Of course, Parshas Shalach deals primarily with the Parsha of the Meraglim. Shalach lecho anoshim v'yosuru es eretz kenan asher ani noisin b'nei Yisrael. Rashi famously tells us what is the juxtapositioning between the end of last Parsha, which deals with Miriam talking about her brother Moshe Rabbeinu and her tzoras. That's last parasha. Leading on from that is the parasha of the Meraglim. So Rashi famously tells us, because these Roshoim, namely the Meraglim, should have taken Musa. Why didn't they see what the consequences are of speaking Lashon Hara? That's what happened at the end of last week's parasha. Miriam spoke about her brother Moshe Rabbeinu, and as a result, suffered tzoras. So these Roshoim, Ra'u V'loi Lokhu Musa. They saw what happened to Miriam, it seemed to have made no effect on them, and in the end they spoke Lashon Hara. And as we know, that's what happened. That's the Lashon of the Pasuk in the continuation of the Parasha. Vayoitziu Dibas Ha'aretz. And they slandered, as it were, they spoke badly about the land. There is a very famous question that needs to be addressed and is asked about this Rashi. As we know, imagine we were learning this in a morning Seder, in Yeshiva, in Kollel. We want to learn one thing from another. We want to learn that there's an Issa Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael, and we want to derive that from the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. See, imagine if we were learning that as a Gemara. Surely everybody would ask a Kasha, there's a Pircha. Miriam HaNeviah spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, who is an Odom, Chai, a live person. Not any live person, Moshe Rabbeinu, the God of Ador. How can you derive from there that there also exists an Issa Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael is not a person, it's Eitzim Va'avonim. Maybe there is, maybe there isn't an Issa, but how could you derive that? How could you possibly say that the Meraglim were a Roshoim for having seen what happened to Miriam and they never learned their lesson? Lo lokhu Musa. In fact, the Gemara says quite clearly in Eirchin, which is the sugya there of Lashon Hara, and the Gemara says, look at the Meraglim who spoke about Eretz Yisrael and they got punished so severely. Can you imagine how severe it is to speak Lashon Hara about a human being? That's what the Gemara says. So what do you see from the Gemara? That clearly it's more chomor, it's more severe to talk Lashon Hara about a human being than it is about Eitzim Vavonim in Eretz Yisrael. So what does Rashi mean? And Rashi's quoting a Chazal. Not everybody's on mute. Whoever just joined us, please, if you could please be muted. So what does Rashi mean when he says that these Roshoim, they should have seen if Miriam and Aviah suffered the consequences of speaking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu, then they should have learned to Musa not speak about Eretz Yisrael. What's the limud? L'chari, there's a very simple distinction. There's a pircha to this limud. That is our first question of tonight. The second question, which is also a registered question, and it's a very obvious question. We know that the Meraglim, having come back from Eretz Yisrael, they give their negative report, so Klal Yisrael are punished. Arba'im Yoim, you are in Eretz Yisrael, Yoim Lashona, Yoim Lashona. So, for every day that you are there, another year, Klal Yisrael are going to have to languish in the Midbar. What is the obvious question? Why is the Oynash dependent on how long the Meraglim were in Eretz Yisrael for? That wasn't the Aveira. The Aveira was surely upon their return, giving a negative report, speaking Lashon Hara about Eretz Yisrael. Whether they were in Eretz Yisrael for 5 minutes, or 5 days, or 40 days, or 20 years. Why is the punishment dependent on how long they were in Eretz Yisrael for? It would seem to be indicated in this Rashi that the Aveira actually was the 40 days in Eretz Yisrael. So 40 days, Midah Keneged Midah, 40 years in the Midbar. And clearly that needs explanation. The Aveira surely is not the 40 days whilst traveling around Eretz Yisrael. The Aveira is coming back and reporting negatively, speaking that Lashon Hara. So those are the two questions that we need to ask. Now the truth is, this second question about why is the Aveira considered to be the 40 days in Eretz Yisrael, we do, after all, have a hint in the Torah. When the Torah actually discusses the Issa of Lashon Hara and Rechilus, we full well know what is the Lashon of the Torah. Loi Seilech Rochil. Loi Seilech. The Torah talks about the Halicha. Loi Seilech. It doesn't say Loi Ledaber Rechilus. Do not speak Rechilus. It says Loi Seilech. And the Chofetz Chaim, in his Sefer, quite clearly says that there is an Issa Misha'as Hiluchoi. From the very time Shehikdim Raglov Ledaber Aveira, when you are circulating around prior to actually saying the Lashon Hara, that is the Aveira. And he says, I found that explicitly in the Shlo. Indeed, the Shlo says, when the Torah writes, Loi Seilech Rochil, Ne'enash Af Al Ha'alicha, one gets punished, not just for the actual telling of the Lashon Hara, but for the Halicha, for the Halicha. So obviously that needs explanation, but that will open up for us the parasha of the Meraglim. Because apparently the 40 days while circulating Eretz Yisrael, that is also considered to be punishable. That's the Loi Seilech Rochel, that's the Halicha. And clearly this needs explanation. We would have thought that Lashon Hara is all about talking evil about others, irrespective of whether you spent 40 days or 40 hours or 40 years in the preparation. So this needs explanation. So I'd like to share with you what I saw in a sefer that I've quoted a number of times, the Yerach L'Moyadim, written by Rav Yerucham Olshin Shlita, one of the Roshi HaYeshiva in Lakewood Yeshiva. He's a son-in-law of Rav Shneur Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, who himself, of course, was a son of Rabbi Aaron Kotler, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. And this particular piece is to be found in a sefer that he wrote about the Bein HaMetzorim, the 3 weeks and the 9 days, and Tisha B'Av. And indeed, he quotes his father-in-law, Rabbi Shneur Kotler. And he begins by quoting a Gemara. The Gemara in Bracha says that the Yetzer Hara is compared to a fly, to a zvuv. And the Vilna Goyen there explains that we're specifically talking about the Yetzer Hara to speak Lashon Hara. In what way is the Yetzer Hara to speak Lashon Hara comparable to a fly? And the answer is, and Rabbeisai, this is really the Yesoid which will answer all of our questions, is that the Shoresh of the Aveira of Lashon Hara is not the speaking of it, but rather the lead up to it, which was looking out at others in a negative fashion. Once somebody has that negative outlook and sees only the Chisroinos and not the Milas of his friend or of others, that will then be the preliminary stage that will eventually bring him to speak Lashon Hara. Had he only looked and focused on the Milas and looked in a more positive manner, then he would never have come to Lashon Hara. And in that way, Lashon Hara is compared to a fly. A fly is attracted to, when there's dirt, or if somebody has an injury, there's a wound, that's where the fly is attracted to. He doesn't go for positive areas, he goes for negatives. And that's why the Gemara and the Vilna Goyen are saying that the Yetzer Hara to speak Lashon Hara is comparable to a fly. He seems to home in and focus, just like the fly, on the negatives. And in fact, it's so beautifully meduyak in the famous Psukim in Tehillim. Because the Pasuk, when talking about how careful you have to be about speaking Lashon Hara, Netzayu L'Shoincho Meira, what is the Pasuk just that precedes it? Mi ho'ish echofetz chayim oyev yomim lirois toiv. If you would only be roya the toiv, then that would obviously help you so much. The reason why a person struggles, and indeed he does not protect his tongue, and indeed he speaks Lashon Hara, is because he wasn't makbid on oyev yomim lirois toiv. Lirois toiv. If somebody would focus and be roya toiv, not the negative, but rather home in on the positive, then indeed netzoy l'shoin chomeiro. We are learning over here a crucial yesoid, that the aveira of Lashon Hara is not so much the actual speaking of Lashon Hara, but it begins, the sheirish is, not being mekayim oyev yomim lirois toiv. He didn't see the toiv. He focuses on the negative. That is what eventually brings him to then speak Lashon Hara. By the way, I think that according to this, we can have a very beautiful explanation of the Gemara that tells us that the me'il that the Kohen Gadol wore is a kapara for Lashon Hara. In what way is the me'il a kapara for Lashon Hara? So the Gemara says, Yavoi dovar shebekoil v'yechaper al koil. We know that the me'il made a sound. What was the sound the me'il made? Whenever the Kohen Gadol walked around, there was a jangling of the pa'amoinim of the bells at the bottom of the me'il. That makes a koil, that'll be mechaper, the koil of the Lashon Hara. Le'oira dvarim, I think the explanation is, how is the koil of the me'il produced? Nobody's jangling it. It's brought about through the halicha of the Kohen Gadol. As the Pasuk says, V'hoyo al aroin v'nishma koiloi b'boyoi el ha-kodesh. It's the walking, it's that halicha that brings about the koil. So now we understand that's indeed a kapara for Lashon Hara, because didn't we just say that Lashon Hara, it's the loiseilech rochel. What precipitated that koil? What is it that brought about the koil of Lashon Hara? It was the halicha, but it was the wrong type of halicha. It was a negative outlook as you walked around. Whatever you saw it in a very negative fashion. Listen to this remarkable story, again recorded in his Sefer Yerach Lamoyedim, about Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer. Rabbi Issa Zalman Meltzer, on one occasion, was sitting in his home on Chol HaMoed. And as you can imagine, as the Gadol HaDor, people were coming in to visit him, Lahakbil Pnei Raboi Berego. And all of a sudden he asked for his Bnei Bayis, please could you bring me a pen and paper? I have a matter of Pikuach Nefesh that I have to write down, even though he was obviously very makbid, not Chas Shalom to write anything down on Chol HaMoed, but it's Pikuach Nefesh, what can I do? So they brought him a piece of paper, he wrote something down, and then he was happy. A whole day came and went, Kabbalas called, tens of people came to visit him, and nobody seemed to detect anything that looked like Pikuach Nefesh. So they asked him, Yelamdeinu Rabbeinu, what was the Pikuach Nefesh that apparently was so urgent that you needed to write something down despite the fact that it was Chol HaMoed? Listen to the answer of a Gadol HaDor. Rabbi Issa Zalman said, I'm fully aware that every Chol HaMoed, tens and tens, maybe hundreds of people come to visit me. And it's inevitable, they come in all shapes and sizes. And on occasion there are people who arrive in my house, and I must be honest, the first thing that I see is never a chisreinus. He doesn't seem to be a ben Torah, He doesn't seem to be a Yorei Shomayim. He doesn't seem to have Midois Toivois. And I don't want to look at people like that. So I always prepare from before Yom Tov a piece of paper on which I write the Pasuk in Mishlei, Einecho lenoichach yabitu, va'afapecho yeshairu negdecho. That pasuk, translated by the Nesivos, is Einecho lenoichach yabitu. What your eyes see in front of you, you should realize is a reflection of yourself. And if you see others, if you see midois rois, if you see chesroinos of others, well, perhaps you should better look inwards rather than outwards. So Rabbi Issa Zalman said, I always have this paper prepared in front of me on the table, and this is a constant reminder for me not chas v'shalom to look at other people's chesroinos. Because if I do, I'm immediately reminded of this posse that if I see bad in others, well, it only reflects badly on myself. Problem was, on this particular Yom Tov, I was very busy. On Erev Yom Tov, I had no time to write this down on a piece of paper. Said Rabbi Zalman, Ichob Gehalten, I held that this was a matter of pikuach nefesh, not to see others in a negative light. And if I didn't have this piece of paper in front of me with a posuk written on it, like we said, I wouldn't be able to makayim miyo isha chofetz chayim oyev yomim lirois toiv. Unbelievable. I felt that this was an issue of pikuach nefesh. To chas v'shalom maybe be nichshal in seeing the negative, the chisroinos of others, I felt that that justified writing something down on cholamoid. An incredible maisa. And the emes is, the Chovas Halvavos in Shaar HaChaniya brings a very similar story, at least the story with the same theme. It is told, says the Chovas Halvavos, about Echod min HaChasidim, that they once passed the nevela, the carcass of a rotting dog, a terrible stench, and one of the Talmidim commented, ah, what a terrible smell this nevela is. And the chassid responded, how beautifully white are the teeth of this dog. And he explained, the Rebbe, how terrible it is even to see the negative of a dead dog. Kol shekein, when you're talking about an odom chai. An odom chai. So you see also, once again, the same theme. One can see a kelev and see a terrible, awful smell, a carcass, a stench, or you can see the beautiful white teeth. And that's what Rabbi Issa Zalman was so concerned about. Chas v'shalom that these yidden should come to me and I'll focus and I would see their negatives. Al kolponim, we now understand, therefore, that the yesod of Lashon Hara, and this is what the Shlo and the Chofetz Chaim meant, lo seileich rochil, it's not so much, or it's not only the actual talking of the Lashon Hara, it's the lo seileich, it's the halicha that precedes it. It's the halicha that creates the koil. And by the way, I think that's why this is called the parasha of the Meraglim. Meraglim is miloshoin regel. Regel. If you look in the Rambam, by the way, when the Rambam codifies the Halacha of Lashon Hara, he says, HaMeragel B'chaveroi. If you are Meragel, you're over B'loisase Shenema Loiseileich Rochel B'Amecha. Meragel, Miloshon Regel. If that's the case, I think we've just answered our second question, and in a moment, our first question. Zot Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. That why is it that the 40 days of Halicha in Eretz Yisrael was punished by 40 years in the Midbar? V'chi halichosom be'eretz. Is it their travels in Eretz Yisrael? Was that the ovoin, the sin for which they were punished? Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, v'lemeidim onu mikan. We learn from over here that the chait of Lashon Hara, loy hoyo rak hadibur, was not just the actual enunciating of the words, Elo ikka ha'cheit hoyo bere'iya v'histaklus. It was that negative outlook all during the while that you were there for 40 days. V'imkein kol yoim, every day that you were looking in Eretz Yisrael with his negative slant, that is eventually what brought about the Lashon Hara. And that's why the 40 days while circulating in Eretz Yisrael, that was the loiseilech rochel, that was the meragel, because it was that negative outlook which is the shoresh of the chet of Lashon Hara. And he concludes there, of Chaim Shmulevitz, v'chein hu b'kol Lashon Hara. Shoresh ha-chet, what is the basis and the makor of the aveira? It's histaklus v'horeiya ha-ra'ah. It's that evil, negative focus, the outlook, the looking at chesroinus. It's not the lirois toiv. So that, of course, is the answer to our second question. Why is it that 40 days in Eretz Yisrael was punishable by 40 years in the Midbar? Surely the 40 days wasn't the Aveira. The answer is, that is the Sheirish of the Aveira. And if that's the case, we now understand also, what was our original question? How can the Meraglim be have expected to learn a limud from Miriam? But after all, Miriam spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu. How can you learn from there that there's an issa to speak about Eitzim v'avonim of Eretz Yisrael, but lo'oir hadvarim, it's answered. We're not learning the issa of the actual talking of Lashon Hara. We're talking about, we're discussing the limud of the loiseilech rochel, of the being meragel. If you're not allowed to look negatively at Miriam, then that is a midorah. However you look negatively, whether you're looking negatively at people or you're looking negatively at Eitzim V'Avonim, it's true, the Dibur, you're right, one could differentiate, but that was the limud. The limud that Meraglim should have learned is, look what happens when you begin with a negative outlook. If you're not Mekayim the Oyev Yomim Lirois Toiv, then you will not be Mekayim the Netzor L'Shein Chomeira. And they should have looked not just at the Aveira of Miriam Hanaviah, but more importantly, what was it that brought about the Aveira of Miriam Hanaviah? And the answer is, it's the Loiseilech Rochel. It's that negative outlook. There is, I think, a very famous story, a very moving story, but one of the Gedolei America, originally from Europe, Rav Elazar Silva, a Talmud of the Or Sameach from Dvinsk. So he, amongst other responsibilities, was the head of the Hatzolah, of those who survived the Second World War. And on one occasion he met somebody who had survived the war, but unfortunately had been Poirek Oil, was no longer frum, wasn't keeping Torah or mitzvahs, and Rabbi Elazar Silva asked him, what happened to you? You used to be a frum yid. And he said, I saw so many horrific tragedies and travesties in the Second World War and in the camps that I've just given up all my emunah, I've given up everything. But in particular, he said, you know what I once saw? There was one yid there in the camps, and he had a siddur. And he was the only one there with a siddur, and people were desperate. They wanted a daven from a siddur. And they asked him, can we just borrow your siddur? And he refused. He would not lend them their siddur unless they were willing to give him their small food ration. How much were they given already? Pas b'melach toichal. Tiny piece of bread, that's all they had. No bread, no siddur. He said, when I saw that, I gave up Torah and mitzvahs. How could a Jew behave like that? All people do is want to daven. All they want to do is daven, and you can't give them your siddur. You have to charge them with the only piece of bread that they have. Said Rabbi Elazar Silva, instead of looking at the person with a siddur, why didn't you look positively and look at the other Yidden? Mika Amcha Yisrael. Yidden who are willing to give up their only portion of bread just for the sake of davening in a siddur. That's Oyev Yomim Lirois Toiv. You can choose in what you want to focus, how you want to focus, which person you want to home in on. I only saw the person who refused to give away the siddur and insisted on other people's portion of bread. Why didn't you see the people who were willing to give their portion of bread to daven in a siddur? That is the yesoid, as mentioned in the Sefer Yerach Lamoyadim, in which case both questions have been answered. How is it that they could learn from Miriam and Avia? They should have learned not from the Avera, but from the Shoirish of the Avera. What is it that brings about the Loiseilech Rachel? And why was the 40 days punishable by 40 years? Because it was the 40 days, again, the Loiseilech Rachel of not being Oyev Yomim and Lirois Toiv. But I think it's important to add, this particular middah of always seeing the negative in others, so of course the sheirish of the middah is the middah of gaiva, of a lack of avas yisrael. After all, v'ahavta l'reacha kamoicha, you would be more than happy to see the positive in your own personality. And then from a mela, that's the way you have to look at others as well. That is, of course, the sheirish of the chiyuv to be dones chaveiroi lekap zechus. Every person would be don himself lekap zechus. I once saw in the name of the great Mashkiach, Reb Dov Yaffe, Zeche Tzadik Livracha, he said, we all can relate to the very annoying circumstance in which we've lost some money. So what do? We look on our desk. We then look in our suit. We then look in our bags, and then we begin to look in the most crazy, unlikely places that maybe, just maybe, just maybe the money might be. Why? Because the money is important to me. And if it's important to me, I'll consider even far-fetched, remote possibilities that maybe, maybe somehow the money found itself here, there, and everywhere. No. If somebody else was important to me, that's the way you should be don him, lekaf zechus. Even though it seems to be that something was done, be'issa, but maybe, just maybe, I can find some being don lekaf zechus. I once heard, the English contingent might well know, a well-known personality in England, Dr. Sholem Springer. He used to live in London, I believe he lives now in Manchester. And I once heard him say the following. When he lived in London, I think he was related to the Seed organization or other Kirib organizations, and he was once asked to give a shiur in Schoenfeld Square. Schoenfeld Square is a Haredi old age home in London. And he was asked to give a shiur on Yom Tov afternoon. The Beis HaMedrash was packed. And he couldn't help but notice that throughout the shiur, at the back of the Beis HaMedrash, there was somebody talking incessantly, non-stop, from beginning to end, to the Yid standing next to him, some Hasidish Yid. Extremely off-putting when you're trying to give a shiur, and there he is, chatting to the fellow next to him. But he said, you know, I was kovish my middos, I didn't say anything to him. Guess what, he says, the next day I had a chasana, and who do I find sitting at the same table as me? That particular Yid. Fine, once again, I was kovish my middos, I didn't say anything to him. But he said it was too much. When this Yid comes up to me and says, oh, I enjoyed your shiur tremendously yesterday. He said, then I couldn't hold it anymore. He says, well, with all due respect, what do you mean you enjoyed my shiur? You weren't listening to a single word. So he looked at Rabbi Springer, surprised. He says, what do you mean? I listened to every single word. He says, excuse me, I couldn't help noticing you were talking and schmoozing to the fellow next to you the whole shiur. You didn't stop from beginning to end. What do you mean you were listening and you enjoyed my shiur? He said, the person next to me was a Hasidish Yid. He didn't understand English. I was translating your shiur word by word simultaneously from English to Yiddish. One can be Oyev Yomim Lirois Toiv, or not Lirois Toiv. You know, I heard a story, it's maybe a comical story, but I heard it from the Baal HaMaisa, a Rav in Yerushalayim. A Rav in Yerushalayim related that he once went with his wife to a chasna in Givat Shol. When they left the chasna hall, they had to take a bus home, So he said to his wife, you know what, I have an idea. It's so rare that we managed to even spend a few minutes together. Let's get off the bus a few stops early. At least we can walk home and have a few minutes together when we have a chance. Ah, fine, good idea. They clamber up on this bus, absolutely packed bus. He's standing in the front, his wife at the back of the bus. And when it comes to the bus stop that he wanted now to get off, how is he going to signal to his wife that it's come the time to get off the bus? There's no way he can talk to her. It's a packed bus. There's 50 people between him and his wife. He can't yell or scream. He says, fine, I'll call her. I have a phone. She has a phone. He calls his wife and he sees his wife right there and she's not answering the phone. And he calls again. She doesn't answer the phone. He calls a third time. What's going on? Very annoying. Why is she not answering the phone? Not only that, I can hear her phone ring. Well, if I can hear it, obviously she can hear it. Why is she not answering the phone? And he was extremely frustrated. Meanwhile, he missed the bus stop and the next bus stop, and eventually they made it home. And when he gets off the bus, his wife gets off too, and she says to her, what a shame we didn't get off early. That was the plan, no, to get off a little bit early and we would spend some time together. She says, well, how was I supposed to know when you wanted to get off? He says, I called you three times. Why didn't you answer? I even heard your phone ringing. So she said to him, how could I possibly have answered my phone? Don't you remember? I gave it to you before we entered the chasna. My phone was sitting in your pocket. So of course you heard it ring. Oyev yomim lirois toiv. I heard this from the Baal HaMaisa. To be don lekaf sechus, a positive outlook or a negative outlook. But what I just want to add in conclusion is that sometimes this middo of looking negatively is not actually coming from gaiva or from a lack of avos yisrael. It's coming from a general negative outlook. A person is a negative person. A negative person. Not just when he looks at others as opposed to himself. Again, when he has the cup half empty, half full, what does he see? The half empty. You know, I must tell you that our dear friend Rav Moshe Zelig Cohen, Zichrono Livracha, who was just Nifta, as we know, he had an illness in the lungs and it was very difficult for him to breathe at the end of his life. And his daughter told me at the Shiva that he once asked her, look at this cup. What do you see in this cup? It's half full of water. What do you see? So she said, I see a cup half full. And he said to her, no, it's completely full. Half of water and half of air. This cup is completely full. We have to appreciate air, he said. Air is something, it's not a nothing. This cup is completely full, half with water and half with air. And he, of course, appreciated the difficulty it was to breathe. Kol neshoma o neshoma, kol neshima o neshima. Air is to be appreciated, but we don't see it. A negative outlook. And therefore, I think it is no surprise that these meraglim, their negative outlook in Eretz Yisrael, eventually led them to say when they came back, what did they say? V'nehi be'eineinu k'chagovim. We see ourselves negatively as well. We consider ourselves like insects, grasshoppers. So memela, a negative outlook like that, spills over into everything you see. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu organized that there should be levayas in Eretz Yisrael to preoccupy people, how did they see that? They came back and they said, this is the Eretz she'oicheles es yoishvecho. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed Eretz Yisrael with beautifully large peiros, what did they say? Oh, there's large peiros. Can you imagine how large the people are? It's a dangerous place. In other words, it wasn't just the lack of Avos Yisrael or Gaiva. It's a general negative look, where a person looks negatively on others, on other things, and he looks negatively at himself as well. V'nir be'eineinu k'chagovim. We mentioned only last week Reb Tzadok HaKohen, who says just like a person has to be ma'amin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a person has to be ma'amin in himself. see himself positively. Like Rabbi Yerucham once said, if somebody doesn't know his chesroinus, that's terrible, but if you don't know your mailas, oy vavoy, if somebody doesn't know their mailas. This was the shayrish of the chait of the Meraglim, a negative outlook on others, but essentially on themselves as well. V'nir be'eineinu k'chagovim. And this is therefore the yesod of the Meraglim. A positive outlook or a negative outlook. It's not just the speaking of the Lashon Hara. It's the leiseilech rochel. It's the lireis toiv. That's the midah that saves us and helps us be makayim and atzoy l'shein chomero. But if it's the leiseilech rochel, that halicha, that negative outlook on myself, on the land, on other people, then that will eventually precipitate and bring about Lashon Hara. So therefore, this is the yesod that we wanted to share. The 40 days of walking around in Eretz Yisrael, that was the loiseilech, that was the meragel with their raglayim. And that's how they were expected to learn this even from Miriam. Not just the Lashon Hara Shabbai, but the Sheirish of the Aveira. Do you see the Yid who refuses to give away his Siddur? Or do you see the Yid who is busy Moisa Nefesh for the Siddur? That's the trick. That's the tikkun. The Mio Ishe Chofetz Chaim Oyev Yomem Lirois Toiv. If a person gets into a habit to always see things, to see himself, to see others in a positive light, then he will be zoicha to the kiyum of the next pasuk, which is Netzori L'Shoim Chomeira Sosecha Midah B'Mirmo. The Meraglim, however, didn't see that. Ra'u V'loi Lokchu Musa. They didn't take Musa. They should have understood from Miriam, this is what happens when you have a negative outlook. They had that negative outlook about Eretz Yisrael, about themselves, and that's what brought about the Lashon Hara for which we are suffering until this very day. I wish everybody a very good Shabbos.